and the time that we spent in our consideration in the series in Psalms 23. I was really going to talk about prayer a bit this morning. Probably going to deviate from my notes some. All right. Psalms 23:5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. You, God, are so timely. You are always on time. You always know exactly what's going on today. God, we don't come here to lean on our own understanding. But in all of our ways, we want to acknowledge you. God, would you make our paths straight? Would you lead us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake? God, it's your name and your image in us that's on the line. Show us your way so we can walk with you. And we thank you for it in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I don't know if I've ever known this verse to be more true, or at least have a perspective for it as much as I have maybe in the last couple of months. God sets a table, and I look around, and I go, man, there's sure a lot of people ugly mugging me right now. I shouldn't say people, right? A lot of situations. They're sitting there, they're staring me down, and here I am sitting at the table. And eventually, you know, if you're a pastor, you got to eat what you're serving up, right? Is there really rest at this table in the presence of my enemies? Well, yes, there is. There is. That's what is being offered at the table, is rest. And I don't think that there's any more important or appropriate place to find rest than in the presence of my enemies. God's rest. This isn't taking a nap. This isn't a break from work. This is a divine, supernatural, magnificent rest. It's a I lost my word. I'll find it later, though. And I don't think there's any other place you can find this manner of rest except at the table of the Lord, at the table of the host that we're brought to here in Psalms 23:5. And I just a perspective question. I like perspective questions. If you're seated in the presence of your enemies, and you're not experiencing rest, what will you probably be doing? Okay? So, behold, I set a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Okay? That's God's declaration. He knows what he wants to do, but I have a choice in this, don't I? So, if I'm seated at a table, just take it out of that context, put it in the natural. If I'm seated at a table and surrounded by my enemies, if I'm not finding what's being provided at the table, which is rest, what am I going to be doing? What would you be doing if you're looking around going, you sit there long enough, if you're not receiving what's prepared at the table, which is rest, you're going to become anxious, you're going to become fretful. Why? Because I begin to live according to my own understanding. I think we have to understand this. Living according to our own understanding never brings rest. Never brings rest. Always brings anxiety and fretting. It's what it brings. You want to know why? Because I really don't have the answers. I've often said this, and maybe more so in the last year, but God is not the God of the whys. He's the God of the hows. Okay? Why? What is it? I'm fretting. I'm anxious. It's a natural response. I'm not saying we're going to have natural responses, but God brings us to this table to have rest, and we have to know the rest is there. It's offered in the presence of our enemies, and we have to begin to look for that and say, God, help me to receive what you've set at your table, because if I don't, I'm sitting in the presence of my enemies. I will begin to fret and be anxious. Can I ask you a question? You think the devil knows that? Does he make you fret? No, he does not. Fretting is the result of not receiving what's at the table. It's not the devil's fault. Right? Right? We can't blame the devil for that. We have to go, God, you've set something at the table and I want to have that. And so I want to bring that out. That's a perspective, because we can serve God, we can love Jesus, and we can even come to the table. But if we're in the habit of living according to our own understanding, we will not receive what's at the table, and we will live contrary at the table to the best that God has for us. Right? Yes or no? Yes, right? Right. I won't go there. I've got a whole other sermon that I would just preach off of what I just said, but it's not what we're doing today. So let's just keep going, best friend. Just keep going. When I look around and I see my enemies staring at me, if I'm not receiving rest, I see these guys that are just waiting, and I'm not just referring to people. When I pray and I go, arise, O God, and let your enemies be scattered, I understand that there is a supernatural enemy that we have that would come, and he's behind so many of the things that are happening, but I have a choice. I will either empower what he's doing. Didn't know you were that powerful, did you? You'll empower what he's doing, or you will remove the power from what he's doing by the choices you make. He doesn't have the power to drag you away. You're in the hand of Christ, but you can certainly empower him in your choices. Okay? If you've received Christ, the devil has no authority over you except that you give him. That's the scripture. So you can empower the enemy at the table, or you can remove his power at the table, because he's waiting there. He's sitting there, and I'm looking around. I'm going, man, this guy's, he's just waiting to get his dirty mitts on me, right? And this makes me nervous. I don't like this. And so what I tend to do, rather than receiving rest, is I begin to tell God what I think he needs to do. Now, I'm here to tell you that is leaning on your own understanding another sermon. I want to start preaching another sermon. I'm not going to go there. I want to tap into another one of David's insights about this. So David writes Psalms 23, talks about table, but David gives us another insight. And I want to read it to you. Psalms 37. This is another one of my favorite Psalms. I go to this again and again and again. Psalms 34, Psalms 37, Psalms 25, Psalms 103. I love to pray these. I love to remind myself. So Psalms 37, a psalm of David. Do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious towards wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. So interesting. He's talking about our choice to cultivate something. I can empower what the enemy's doing, or I can cultivate faithfulness and totally remove any power. That is the truth of the passage. Scripture says, and no weapon fashioned against you will prosper. It doesn't say weapons won't be fashioned. It just says they don't have power over you unless you give it to them. Right? So, trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, cultivate faithfulness, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I so enjoy this passage because it's a picture. It's a picture. Actually, the word delight means to be soft, like clay in the hand of a potter. So the picture is, or what's really being said is, allow God to form your life and he'll give you the desires of your heart, right? So commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgments as the noonday. Verse 7, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret. What is fretting? Fretting is empowering the enemy's plan. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Listen to verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. When I'm at the table, if I'm not looking, okay, I'm not saying you can produce this rest. You cannot. But it is offered and we should be asking. God, I'm seated in the presence of my enemies. I can see them. Okay? I need your rest. Help me to find your rest. You notice I'm not praying that he makes the enemies go away, because if you follow this through, what you find out is if I receive his rest, I've totally disarmed the enemies. and then they're helpless. Have you ever, it's almost like you get to gloat at the table if you go to that point. Like, you should have left earlier. I'll bet you didn't know that was going to happen, right? It's kind of like one of those. So it's imperative that we know rest is being made available in the presence of our enemies. Now, Psalms 37 tells me not to fret, right? And I like that, and I understand, I truly understand the truth of what it says. Do not fret, it only leads to evil doing. Anytime I have stayed in my fretting and lived according to my own understanding and acted on it, it has never gone well. Never gone well. And I think you have to look and redefine what it means for something to go well, because have there been times that I've fretted and acted on it and things came out to my benefit? Sure they have, but was life released in the acting? No. Just death. Death of relationships, death of you name it, right? So do not fret. Don't empower the plan of the enemy. Receive the rest that I'm offering at the table. And Psalms 34 tells me not to fret, or 37 tells me not to fret. And it tells me to allow God to form my life in these situations. But Psalms 37 to me seems a little light on a definition for a course of action. And that so many times we understand what we're not supposed to do, but I don't know if we know what we're supposed to do. Right? It's not enough to know what not to do. If my mom made a batch of cookies and put them on the table and said, Brent, don't eat those. Okay, I know what I'm not supposed to do. What's going to happen if I just sit there and stare at those cookies? I need another course of action. Brent, these cookies are for later. Not that you can't have them, you just can't have them now. So I need you to go outside and play. That was a wise woman, right? Remove me from the presence of the cookies. Tells me not to fret. Don't eat the fretful cookie. Okay, what do I do? Because I'm sitting in the presence of my enemies. What do I do? So Philippians 4, very familiar passage of scripture, verses 6 and 7. Remember, we're at the table. Rest is available. We're told not to fret. To not fret would be to receive rest, right? We need to receive that. But how do we do that? Because it's always easier said than done. When I look around and things aren't going right, it's just easier to fret than it is. And if I tell myself, don't fret, and I don't do something else, what am I going to do? I'm going to fret. That's what I'm going to do. So I like the course of action that were prescribed in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, this is a table passage. This is a table passage. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. I like that. I like that. It surpasses all. This peace does not operate according to your understanding. That's what that says. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Prayer is an activity for the table that has been set before us in the presence of our enemies. Having conversation with the host as he shares his life with you. God sends Jesus to redeem us. The great shepherd leads us to the table. God says, now sit down. I want to share my life with you. I want to have conversation with you. You know, that's what prayer is conversation. Now, can I state something obvious? I mean, it's so obvious that it should be obvious, but it seems like we lose sight of it. Like the host knows that the enemies are around the table. Does he need any reminder of that? Should that be the substance of my conversation with him? Should that be the mass of what I talk to him about? Is he blind? Does he not care? Sometimes I wonder if God goes, is that all you got to say to me? I offer you my rest. I know they're there. Would you like to empower them? No. Let me show you what I'm offering you. I'm not telling the host this conversation. And this is kind of where I'm trying to figure out how to work in what the other things I wanted to share rather than just going on to what I have written down. But when I'm at the table and prayer, and we talk about prayer, because Jesus, you know, one of the last things he does, one of the last things he says before he's taken, I mean, in the last day of his life, as he goes in the temple, he clears the temple and he says, my Father's house will be called a house of prayer. You've turned it into a den of thieves. Where's the table set? It's set in the house, right? And so he says this table is a place of conversation. Isn't it amazing that even those in the natural world of psychologies and family studies will tell you that some of the greatest things and healthiest things happen around the table where we eat together? But I don't think that was an accident. I think this is part of God's intent, and this is the picture we get. He goes, I invite you to the table. Why? Because this is where we share life. This is where we share one another. This is where we can celebrate one another. This is where we break bread together. This is where we share our lives. And God invites us to this table, and prayer is this conversation that we have at the table. And if the substance of our conversation is just me telling the host how he needs to fix what I see, I think we've missed something. I think we've missed something because, you know, I've prayed a lot of those prayers and gotten to the end and not had rest. I think he's offering us something more in this conversation. Because sometimes what I declare to God is, I don't have any hope in you unless you act according to my understanding. Do you find any rest in that? No, because what happens if he doesn't act according to my understanding? But does that mean he wasn't acting? I was talking with Tion this week, and we were just talking about prayer. And I said, I'm believing for a miraculous work of God in your life, in your family. Miraculous. Now, I said, I have something I would like to see God to do. I mean, my preference, that he just heal you. And very well, God can. But is that the only miraculous work of God? I think it's dangerous to confine the miracle to my understanding. In the hardships of life, when you all of a sudden get some information that changes your life, where's God's focus? I'll tell you, it's on the same work he's been doing all along. It's on the same work he's been doing all along. Here's what I believe. I believe God's going to do something so miraculous in the Cross family, in their life, that every person they encounter is going to be impacted. You know, we limit our prayers to the thing that's right in front of us, the enemy that we're looking at, that we're fretting about, and just saying, God, give us rest. God, be miraculous. It's not just one enemy. When you touch them, you didn't touch one person. You touched a community. And God has every person in that community in mind. And so many times, can I say this? I don't want to be crass, but I'm going to say this. We need to know this. I walk through hospitals often, and sometimes I wonder, have you ever taken the time when you're going to visit somebody to stop and look in every room and look at the hurt and look at the pain that happens in people's lives every day? And we forget about it until it touches us. But it happens constantly. It happens constantly. Every one of those people needs a miraculous work of God in their life. And sometimes that doesn't mean a healing. Now, I'm not saying I don't believe in healing. I do. But I'm just saying we limit. And we speak of God's miraculous working in terms of our own understanding. Paul says in Ephesians 3, it's one of my favorite passages, I pray to the God who does immeasurably and abundantly above and beyond all that I can think or ask or even imagine. In other words, Paul says, what God is doing isn't even on my radar. So it's not that I can't ask, right? But I need to understand that what he's doing is miraculous. And if it's miraculous, then it's operating outside the scope of my own understanding. And that's what I need to be believing for, not just the pinhole I'm looking through. Yes, God, I want this too. But God, what I'm really believing is every life that they touch, there will be a greater capacity for God in their life. I'm believing that doctors and nurses and innocent bystanders experience the presence of God in the process, the miraculous process that he is walking them through. God's miracles don't come in good reports. If you get a bad report, has God's miracle failed? No, he's just not taking the course of my understanding. He is still working in a miraculous way. And I can have rest in the presence of my enemies, not because God's giving me what I want, but because he knows what he's doing. And I can rest. I can rest in that, and he will do a miraculous work. When I say this, I want to encourage you. You are going to encounter people, maybe tomorrow, maybe today, maybe next week, maybe a year from now, who are in the throes of life. And what they need is hope. They need hope that there's a miraculous God, a miracle-working God. But if I'm going to offer that hope, I've got to know that the miraculous goes beyond my understanding, and that there is rest to be offered. And this is a comment, and I say this lightly, but this is just an honest truth. I've been in ministry long enough, I can say this. How many people in this room are going to make it out of this life alive? Raise your hand if you think you're not going to die. Okay, one out of one. So when I pray, right, is the miracle I'm praying for really just to be limited to a stay of execution? No. We're all going to go. We're all going to go. I am by no means just going to stand and limit a miracle to pushing somebody's death 20 years down the road. I want to see the miraculous working of God. I want to see every life that touches that life changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I'm believing for. Pastor Brent, how can you say that? Because here's what I understand. God could fix that miraculously, and you step out the door and you're going to meet the next enemy. So now what? Are you going to be like the children of Israel that only know God's works? Or are we going to be like Moses who knew his ways? Moses found rest. Children of Israel are constantly up in the air about something. Because that's all they could see. Well, God, the only place I can have rest is if you show up and do what I want. Oh, no. I'm not going to fret like that. I'm not going to empower the work of the enemy. No weapon fashioned against me will prosper. That's the promise. And it's true. But that doesn't mean I get it the way I see it. It just means that's true. And God offers me rest at his table. And so rather than coming to the table and we're back to prayer, because what am I doing? I'm communing with him at the table. So I don't want the substance of my prayer to just be something that lands on my own understanding. I don't think there's anything wrong with communicating those things to God. And I do it all the time. God, you know where I'm at, right? You know this makes me nervous. You know this even scares me. You know that I feel the weight of this. And that's why you've given me grace. You know I'm made of dirt. I love that scripture says that. Oh God, please don't forget that we are but dust, right? He knows that. And I express that to him. He doesn't have a problem. But when I'm at this table and he's offering rest, I need to come up and I go, but God, I know that is not the rest that you're offering. And I'm asking you to help me find the rest that you are offering. I do not want to empower my enemies. He doesn't have power over how this is going to turn out, and I'm not going to give him any. God, would you do a miraculous work? Would you let your name be lifted up and be glorified? However you have planned to do this, God, lead me in the path of how you see it. Show me your way so I can walk with you. And as I do that, God, let your rest, let your peace that passes all of my understanding guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. So interesting, it's the picture. If you go and you look at this, it's Paul says it's like a garrison that surrounds, right? Like a Roman garrison would surround someone they're protecting. This is the picture that God gives of his peace. It comes in, it garrisons our hearts and our minds in the presence of our enemies. Prayer is an activity for the table, having conversation with the host as he is sharing his life with us. It's important to grasp that this rest is a deeper level than just taking a break from the business and the weightiness of life. And so we're going to consider a couple aspects of rest. I just don't know if I want to go into that, because that is just a whole sermon by itself. I think I want to end with you in this way. Our mission and our vision as a church is that we are in his service, right? Now I have to look because I forgot. It's been a week harmonizing together in his service, looking forward, creating a greater capacity for God. I want to tell you, that is not just for when the sun is shining. So, this past week, we began just kind of something new we're doing in service, and we had Kelly, and we brought Kelly up just to go, hey, you know, this is Kelly Walker, and this is Braxton, and they're members of our congregation, and we want to make you a focus of prayer. We want to lift you up. We want to pray for you as we come to the table, and oh God, would you do a miraculous work in their life? Would you do a miraculous work in their life? Would you help them to experience rest, real rest, the rest of a finished work? Would you help them to do that? What are we doing? We're harmonizing, right? We're harmonizing. So we pray for the Cross family. God, would you do a miraculous work? Somebody asks you, what's God going to do? I don't know. Something miraculous. He's going to do something miraculous. Well, like what? Well, like they have hope in the middle of this. Would you have hope if you were in the middle of this? No. Do you want hope? Miraculous. God's going to do something miraculous. Harmonizing together in his service. We're not just in his service when things are going good. Do you know the greatest potential to serve God sometimes comes, probably always comes, when we are weak. When I am weak, then he is strong. How is it that we turn weakness into for me, it becomes a place of questioning, right? Well, if I'm really serving God, why am I so weak? Man, I need to come back to the table. I need to quit fretting about it. Go, God, I need your peace. I believe in your miraculous working, you are going to give me a greater capacity to share who you are in the midst of this. And that's miraculous, because that's hope, because that's good news, because that's eternal good news. Right? Harmonizing together, looking forward. Looking forward. God, your kingdom come, your will be done right here on earth as it is in heaven. Now, you're going to meet people. They're going to pick up the Bible and they're going to say, well, I can tell you what the will of God is. Okay. Smarty pants. I guess you're God. I guess you know it all. You know, Job kind of tried that. Go read the book of Job, especially the last few chapters. God goes, Job, where were you when I did this? Right? Job says, I covered my mouth. Pastor Brinch, he's sicko. Stay away from me. Harmonizing together in his service, creating a greater capacity for God. No matter what is going on in your life, when we are receiving the rest that's being offered at the table, we are being infused with what is needed to create a greater capacity for God. Do people need hope when things are going well? We do, but we don't think we do. Right? I prayed a long time ago, God, I want to be a dispenser of hope. I want to be a dispenser of hope. I want your hope to be so real in me that it's undeniable. And where do I most need hope? And just so you know, in Scripture, hope, the word hope in Hebrew is the picture of a wound rope. And so it holds It holds the meaning of us together, right? So hope is us together. Hope is never a by myself thing. Hope is us together. And man, what a better place to find hope than at the table, because I'm looking at the host and hope is us together. Like me with God, receiving his rest, right? Not empowering what's going on out here. I'm looking at God and I'm going, God, do a miraculous work, because I want you not only to deal with my situation, but I want you to thwart the power of my enemies in everybody else's life too, because that's miraculous. It's not just about me. It's about what you're doing. Your kingdom come, your will be done. So I want to close just with a story, and it's different because it doesn't come out of maybe the type of weakness that we face. I mean, Cassandra and I are going to Billings this week. We got a cancer report, right? And so we're going to go. We're going to go. You want to know what I'm praying? God, you're doing something miraculous. I don't know what it looks like. I know what I would like you to do. But God, I'm at your table. I'm certainly not going to limit you to what I understand. You are so big. God, I want you to do abundantly above and beyond all that I could ask or think or even imagine. God, I want every life, I want lives that I don't know about to be touched. God, I want your hope to be poured out. And I will trust you that you will provide everything that we have need of to walk through what you're doing. Because it's going to be miraculous. It's going to be miraculous. So this, along those lines, but different. But it ends with creating a greater capacity for God. So, and I've told you about a friend of mine, and the story keeps growing. That's what happens with pastors. The story just keeps growing. Met this friend when they moved into town here in Hungry Horse. He's a big guy, big burly guy. And first time I met him, he was working on his house, had on a pair of bib overalls. Don't think he had anything on under him. And he had a bowie knife that was about half the length of his leg strapped to his side. And I walked over and I said, "Hi." And he's kind of turned around and grunted, "Hey, I'm Brent." Okay, very good. I'm going home. And over time, kind of got to know him. There came a point, you know, I kind of looked for my opportunity. This guy didn't seem real interested in me hanging around too much. But anyway, there came an opportunity, and there was just a struggle in their life. And I knew it was a hardship for them. I knew it was hard. It was really weighing on them. And I asked, I'm like always looking like, God, where are you trying to create a greater capacity in their lives? And so I saw this and I said, can I pray for you? And he said, no, you and me believe different. You're not going to pray for me. I said, okay. I said, you know, I'm going to pray for you when I leave. He goes, that's fine, but you're not going to pray for me. Okay. So not too long after that, it was a while after that, I guess. There was just another instance, something going on in their family. And I got a call and he's like, my son is really struggling. Would you come and talk to him and pray with him? I said, oh, okay. Oh, I would be glad to do that. So I got to go do that. And then my friend found out he had cancer. And I was outside working one day, and he came over, and he said, would you pray for me? God keeps growing this capacity. So then when we found out that Cassandra had cancer, he had called me for something, and I just texted him back, let him know what we were doing. And he texts back to me, we're praying for you. And then I get a call. And he says, hey, I would like you to come and pray for one of my friends. God is doing something miraculous. Can I tell you, in all of these instances when there have been good reports and good things happen, but it's still been the struggle of the process. God has not removed the enemies yet. But the capacity for God is growing in the life of another person inside of the sphere of our influence because of what the enemy meant for evil. And that is the miraculous working of God. God is releasing people from the grips of the enemy through the hardships that we face, not because God wants us to go through hardships, but because he says, I'm God, and no weapon fashioned against you is going to prosper in the reason for which it's sent. I will use those things for the good of those who love me and who are called according to my purpose. And when I climb up to the table with God and I begin to pray, that's my prayer. God, would you use this in such a way that people are delivered from bondage, from sin, from an eternity in hell? Would you do miraculous things that go above and beyond all that I could ask? God, I would like you to do this too. And to me, that would be miraculous. But if you did that, the only person that benefited might just be me. But if you do what you have planned to do, your name will be famous. Your name will be famous, and that's why I want to live, so that your name can be famous. So why do you say all that? Because you will have the opportunity to pray with people. And I would say, would you lead out with that? Hey, would you just come with me to this table? Because God offers rest in the presence of this, and we don't know exactly how he's going to work it out. I can show you some things in scriptures where God's done some amazing things. Man, I'd love to see him do that. But you know, he's done so many amazing things that haven't been written down. And they're no less miraculous. They're no less miraculous. I want you to know hope. I want you to know hope. You know, every time I walk through a hospital and I look in those rooms, I go, God, every one of these people needs hope. They need the hope. Most of them need the hope of your presence more than they need a physical healing. Because if all that happens is they get better and live for 20 more years, they're still dying. And what does it profit a man to gain the whole world, lose his soul? Nothing. So, this week, as you pray again for Kelly, Braxton, for the crosses, pray for us, pray for anybody. Anybody you think of needs prayer, I'll guarantee you. You pray for the miraculous working of God. We want to hear and see things that we go, look what the Lord has done. I would have never have thought that God would have done that. I would have never imagined, right? Don't come to the table and fret in prayer. Prayer is not a fretful thing. God does not need you to remind him of everything that's going on. It's okay if you want. God, I know you see this. I know you do. It weighs on me. But I'm not just going to sit here and chew on it. Let's get to the miraculous rest that you offer here at this table. God, lead me in paths of how you see it for your name's sake. Amen. Father, we thank you. for your miraculous working. You are a miraculous, wonder-working God. God, we ask that you would open our eyes to see what you are doing. You said, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But you make them known to us by your Spirit. God, we relinquish our own understanding. You know that we have desires. You know that we have feelings. You know, God, that we want to be comforted. You know all of those things. But you said if we would seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, how you see it, that all those things would eventually be added to us as well. God, we pray, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done right here on earth as it is in heaven. God, go with us. Fill us with your Spirit. God, would we be dispensers of hope? Would your power be poured out? The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in us. Spirit of Christ, saturate us again. Every pore of every being, God, would we drip with your presence? Would we be dispensers of hope? God, would miracles happen in your presence at this table? God, miracles we don't even ask for that just happen because they proceed from the rest that you've placed in us, that you've given us, that you offer us. Spirit of Christ, would you help each one of us to, God, just be persistent in asking. God, would you lead me in rest? Show me, God, how I can rest in you today. Show me in my prayer, petitions, and with thanksgiving. And I make my requests known to you so that your peace that goes beyond all my understanding can guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus as I walk through the days of this life. We thank you for all of these things. God, we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. And God, I pray that there would just be a growing sense of confidence in your abilities. God, and you have already disarmed the enemy. Jesus took the keys. He has no power. God, let us come to your table and receive from you the things that you have prepared before us in the presence of our enemies. We thank you for this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.